Shekinah Encounter Center is an apostolic platform mandated to reveal the way and do good to humankind. As you pay attention to this anointed message, it's guaranteed that your encounter with destiny has arrived. Now, Apostle Jotham Obi Adams.
Book of Matthew chapter 5.
Matthew chapter 5, verse 5, hallelujah. Matthew chapter 5, verse 5, hallelujah. Matthew chapter 5, verse 5. Praise God. I want to welcome every one of us to tonight's midweek service. I know you will surely be blessed, hallelujah. Matthew chapter 5, verse 5, hallelujah. How many years more do you have to live on the earth? Who knows? Okay, how many years do you want more to live more on the earth? Some 50, some 70, some 80, is that correct? Is there anybody that wants to live 150 more years? Okay. You have to live 150 more years, okay? All we have been looking at the beatitude. And we say beatitude means be attitude. Is that correct? No. Let me refer. Be hyphen attitude. That means the attitude that every believer is supposed to possess. We have looked at the poor in spirit. We have looked at those that mourn. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. We've looked at that. And today we'll be looking at the next one. Very powerful. Hallelujah. The next one is very, very powerful. We'll be looking at Matthew chapter 5, verse 5. Now, if you notice something very, very particular, all the beatitudes, hallelujah, are we together? All the beatitudes have benefits that are accrued to God or in heaven. Just let's start from verse 1. Let's see something. If you have studied all the beatitudes, chapter 1, hallelujah, are we together? Can we all look? And seeing the multitude, he went up into a mountain, and when he was a disciple, came to verse 2, sir. He opened and told them, saying, yes, verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of what? Heaven. The next verse, sir. Verse 4. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Verse 5. I want you to see something. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Verse 6. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Yes. 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. 8. Blessed are they the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Yes. 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Yes. That's the last one. And blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Now, if you notice this progression, hallelujah, there's only one that has benefit accrued to earth. All the rest are heaven, God, the kingdom of God. Have you noticed that? It's only one. And that is verse 5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Hallelujah. So today we'll be looking at the beatitude. The one we'll be looking at for today is blessed are the meek. Hallelujah. Blessed are the meek. I believe God will help us in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Julia, happy new year. Hallelujah. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Now, King James uses the word meek. Other translation will use humility. Is that correct? Is that correct? So what is the meaning of definition of humility? I want to give us three definitions for today. What is humility? Humility means strength under control. Strength under control. Power under control. Humility means strength under control, power under control, strength under control, hallelujah, power under control. Number two definition, meekness or humility means submitting to the will of God, submitting to the will of God. 2 Kings 22 verse 9, verse 19, 1 Peter 2:23, 2 Kings 22 verse 19. Meekness means submitting to the will of God. Anytime God gives an instruction, particularly in the word, and you listen to it, the Bible is said to be meek. Hallelujah. Just for divination's sake. Because thy heart was tender and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord when thou heardest what I spake against this place and against the inhabitant thereof. Hallelujah. Now, submitting to the will of God. And finally, number three is very, very important. Now, number three, I want to say something about number three before I give the divination. Number three is unique, all through scriptures. Hallelujah. As a matter of fact, everyone in scriptures that the Bible tallied to be meek is because of the definition of number three and number one. Number three, humility or meekness means the quality of being patient in reception of injuries. It stands to oppose
to malice and revenge. The quality of being patient in reception of injuries is time to oppose to malice and revenge. The quality of being patient in reception of injuries is time to oppose to malice and revenge. Now, I have to explain this definition very well. Hallelujah. Praise God. Number one, I say it means strength under control. It's different from weakness. When somebody is weak, that means he doesn't have the ability to do something. Are we together? But when somebody is humble, it means he has the capability, he has the capacity, but he chose to suspend his ability and come under control. That is humility and meekness. And then number three, quality of being patient in reception of injuries. Now, is the Bible trying to say when you are abused, you know what it means to be abused? When you are abused and you are taking it patiently, hallelujah, and you are taking it patiently, is that humility? Think about it. Hallelujah. He's midweek service. So, when you are being abused and you are taking it patiently, you know what is abuse? Is that humility? If number three is humility, the quality of being patient in reception of injuries is time to oppose to malice and revenge. So, when you are being abused and you are taking it, is that humility? Let me just answer it straightforward. The answer is no. Hallelujah. When you are being oppressed, you know what is oppression? You are oppressed and then you are taking it patiently. That is not humility. There is a difference between abuse and oppression, and there is a difference between persecution. These are different things. Persecution, abuse, and oppression. God is against abuse. How do you get that? God is against oppression, and God may permit persecution. So when you are being abused, the Bible never supports you take abuse for anybody, from anybody. Coming from your pastor, from anybody that abuses you, the Bible expects you to fight abuse and reject it. When you are being oppressed, the Bible admonishes us to fight oppression at all levels. All together? So we are now, when the Bible is talking about taking them patiently, it's talking about persecution. When you are being persecuted, you don't go for revenge and you don't keep malice. So that I will not miss that definition, because I have to look at it very, very carefully. Nobody, now you are abusing a small child sexually, and then you have total humility. So you keep quiet and you keep on being abused. That's not correct. Are we together? Yes. So these are the definition of humility. I want to give us four important facts about meekness before we go. Four important facts about meekness. Meekness is a posture of the heart and disposition. Now, very, God will help us. Meekness is the posture of the heart and disposition. Humility is the posture. Matthew chapter 11 verse 29. Humility is the posture of the heart and disposition. Matthew 11 29. Please, you know, today is when I say service, so I can be able to. That is why I want us to understand. Hallelujah. Matthew 11 29. Please, can we read it together? Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly. Where? In where? In heart, and ye shall find rest unto you. So remember, the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Is that correct? The issues of life come from the heart. If somebody is humble in his heart and his disposition is correct, his words will show humility. His actions will show his mannerism. When I look at David now, and I just look at him up and down, there is a way I can look at people and it will show pride. Is it true? I didn't talk, I didn't ask, but the way I looked at you, you know that there is pride in me. Is that correct? Come on, is that correct? Without even talking or acting. How many of you have ever taken first position before, and then they call you, first position goes to David, and then you just came, and then your shoulder is square. You didn't talk. As you are collecting the report card and turning, the way you are bouncing, you know you are on top of the wall. You are celebrated, and in that instance, and then you had 1 minute of pride. Has it ever happened to anybody? And that happened to all of us. All of us have been humble. That's happened to me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, it's a disposition of the heart, a position of the heart, the way somebody is in his heart. Humility and meekness is not physical. Physicality is a manifestation of what is in your heart. So, humility, if somebody is not humble in heart, somehow, he may try to fake it, but he will betray himself. So meekness is primarily in the heart. You cannot see humility. You can only see the manifestation of humility. Altogether, please, this point is very, very important. Jesus said, "For I am meek and lowly in heart." And the issues of life, that's why the Bible says, "Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it come what? The issues of life." So once you are humble in your heart, right within you, it will show in every other area. Altogether, number two thing about humility before we continue is, this is very, very important. God doesn't make people humble. People yield to the Holy Spirit and become humble. God doesn't make people humble. I will explain. People yield to the Holy Spirit and eventually become humble. It is a wrong prayer. Please hear me. In case you don't believe me, go and research. It is a wrong prayer to pray, "Father, humble me. God, humble me." God doesn't humble people. God humiliates people. The Holy Spirit is the one that teaches you the grace to become humble. Out together. Come on, out together. So, God does not make people humble. People yield to the Holy Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to 25, he's talking about the fruit of the from 19 flesh. And then one of the fruit of the Spirit is humility or meekness. When you yield to the Holy Spirit, you become humble. Are we together? Come on, are we together? Let me give you more scriptures. Can we have 1 Peter chapter 5 from verse 5 to 6? 1 Peter 5 from verse 5 to 6. How many of you remember 2 Chronicles 7 verse 14? If my people who have come by my name shall what? No, who is humbling them? Is it God? Who is humbling them? Listen to what he said. Shall what? Humble themselves. Who is doing the humbling there? Themselves. Is that correct? 1 Peter 5. Likewise, the younger, submit yourself unto the humble, ye of all, be subject unto another, and be clothed with humility. Be. Now, who is doing the clothing here? Be clothed with humility. Who is doing the clothing? Yourselves. Is that correct? James chapter 4 from verse 6 also. James chapter 4 verse 6. So you humble yourself. The Holy Spirit helps you to become humble. God doesn't make people humble. James 4, 6. God doesn't make humble. Say with me. "But he giveth grace, more grace. Wherefore he said, God is the proud, but he giveth grace unto the humble." Are we together? So now, we choose to become humble. When I discovered this one day in my room, I could not believe it until I went and searched out, because I was reading my Bible and I was praying, "God, give me, make me humble, make me humble." Then somehow, my spirit didn't really feel as if I'm praying the wrong thing. It's like you are washing your leg with your socks on. No, it's not correct. I just feel I was praying the wrong prayer. So I look at the word. That Bible revealed to me that you make yourself humble. Then I went out to look out from fathers to confirm, and I listened to me, and it confirmed that God doesn't make people humble. You have to yield to the Holy Spirit to become humble. Number three foundational part I want you to understand is, a humble person is humble to everybody, both those above him, both his equals, and those below him. Titus chapter 3 verse 2. When somebody is truly humble, he is humble to all men. Those above, those in his class, and those below him. Titus, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawler, but to be gentle, showing meekness unto what? Come on. Showing meekness unto what? If I take David out to a restaurant, "David, I respect you so much. I respect you and I value you." And then I shout at the restaurant lady. I was through the restaurant already. I read one book of relationship one time, advising ladies that if your boyfriend takes you out and he's gentle towards you, his voice is tender and soft, and the waiter is a lady and he's shouting at her and insulting her, he's fake. Does that make sense to anybody? He's fake. So anybody that is fully humble, people above him, he's humble to them. Those in his equals, colleague, he is humble to them. And those below him, he is equally humble. Are we together? Because there are people that project humility towards people above them. But towards their equals, they are not humble. And towards people below them, they are not humble. I was listening to Bishop David, Pastor David Ibiomi. He said that the Adeboye, when he wants to shake them, he brings his two hands to shake them. You understand what I mean? You know, that the boy is supposed to be the one they bring their two hands and kneel down. He is his grandson. He saw me to Edebo, Edebo saw me to Daddy Edebo. But when he went to say Daddy Edebo, he used to bring two hands. Say that is the height of humility. That means he is below him. But he's still humble. That is his person. Not really his person. He has yielded so much to become that humble. That even if you are below him, he honors you, he respects you. Altogether, so a man that is truly humble and only is humble towards people that are above him is not humble. Or is humble only to his equal, is not humble. He is humble to all men, above, equal, and below. And finally, humility and meekness can be sought out. Zephaniah chapter 2, verse 3. There are ways you can seek to be humble. You can seek that virtue. Altogether, come on. You can seek the virtue of humility. It's something that can be found. You can become humble. Nobody is made naturally humble. People become humble. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't forget that if you want to reign on this earth, one of the qualities you need is humility. Because humility, both human beings naturally fight people that are at their levels and leave people that seem to be weak and submissive. I don't know if you understand me now. Human beings naturally, if you want to assess a great man, you cannot assess a great man with pride. You have to be humble. That is, the Bible says God resists the proud. That means it's not the devil that is stopping you at your rising now. God is resisting you. You are not going far. You are not going anywhere. It's God that put a barricade on your case. Altogether. So we need to, it is a virtue that all of us need if you want to reign on this earth. I believe God will help us in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, what are the signs of humility? Or what are the indicators? I want us to x-ray our life now with some of the characteristics. You will look at yourself and see if these things are in you, then you are humble. If they are not, when I did myself, I know I'm not humble. When I look at the qualities that the Lord revealed to me, hallelujah. What are the signs? Now, anytime the word of God comes, when I was meditating before I came this evening, you know, most of them, when they are preaching, I say, this person is doing it. An image of somebody comes to your mind. It's as if this word is meant for this person. This word is meant for this person. Now, everything today is meant for you. You understand me now? So, don't think about anything that I say and then think about somebody. Just focus it on yourself. Just put the light and the beam on yourself. Number one sign of humility is ability to be taught and to receive knowledge. It's called teachability. A sign that somebody is humble is teachability. He can be taught and he can receive knowledge. Psalms 25 verse 9. Psalms 25 verse 9. James 1, 21. Isaiah 61 verse 1. Psalms 25 verse 9. The Bible says, the meek, the humble, it is only the humble that he will guide in judgment. And the meek will he teach his ways. Can we have James 1:21? So God teaches his ways to a class of people, and they are humble people. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness. Are we together? Are we together? And receive with meekness the engrafted word of God, which is able to save your souls. Isaiah 61 verse 1. Isaiah 61 verse 1. So, a sign that you are humble is teachability. Teachability. Your heart is open to teachings. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the good tidings unto the... To preach to who? Good tidings unto who? The poor. Anytime you see somebody that is always arguing, frequently arguing, it is one of the highest signs of pride. Hallelujah. A sign that you cannot be taught. When I say, why are you doing this? When somebody teaches something, you have the reason why I'm doing this. You have a reason to excuse why you are doing what? You cannot be taught. You just feel anything that people are doing, I know this thing. There are people that challenging sermons in church. When the pastor is teaching, they look at him and say, ah, this pastor, he's not even deep in Greek. He doesn't even really understand. He cannot even dissect. There are people like that their heart. It's like the pastor is playing table tennis. They are playing the ball back. It's like they are playing table tennis in church. They are analyzing everything. They cannot be taught. Hallelujah. Cannot be taught. It's painful when you have somebody that, when you want to teach him something, he feels, I know. He feels, I know, I have one guy like that. You can't play this instrument. I cannot really play keyboard much. But your own is bad, it's worse compared to mine. Calm down, let me teach you the basics. How to do your fingering. This, I know this one. Until today, only three notes. I'm not exaggerating. I'm telling you, only three notes. Why you give me, you know that this is only three notes. But you cannot be, you cannot calm down and be taught. A sign of humility is teachability. You are teachable. Somebody can teach you something. If you are not teachable, you are not humble. Forget it. You have a counter argument. You have a counter knowledge. You always argue. You think you know better. You think nobody can say anything to you. When you, there are people that argue, this thing is black, they will say, no, this thing is white. You say, depending on the color of the light. We know. When it's obviously black, you are not talking about anything physics here. They want to argue. They want to show they know something. They cannot be taught. That is an indicator. So once you are teachable, look at yourself. Can somebody teach me something? How do I react to teachings? When somebody is teaching me something about choir master, my equal now. Those of you from now, let's say this. When somebody teaches something, just something happened here. One of the days, one of our conferences, this was it last year. We invited the choir to minister, NCTF choir, and then the guy that took the mic was the song, "My Hallelujah Belongs to You." So when he took the mic, he didn't pick the note, or he was not correct. And then the rest of the backup singers were laughing. You know, come fast now. So after 1 minute, like the hand of God came upon him. And then he sang that song. All of us, the whole auditorium, we are almost in tears. All of us. Everybody. Even the backup, everybody, they were like, they could not believe what happened. It was not a switch. I don't understand me now. Now, that guy was, when nothing, he just does the way he was. I saw humility in him. So once you are teachable, you can be corrected, you can be taught. It's a sign of humility. Anybody that's not teachable is proud. Number two, ability to be corrected. Now, teachability, verse 1, and instructed by whosoever when there is need, despite achievement and levels. Ability to be corrected by whosoever when there is need, despite the achievement and levels. I will give us three striking examples. Ability to be corrected when you are wrong. Exodus chapter 18 from verse 14 to 24. It's a long reading. Exodus 18, 14 to 24. Let us read verse 14. So Exodus 18, 14. Hallelujah. Please, let us read this one, then I will give us the remaining story. And when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did to the people, he said, "What is this thing that thou doest to the people? Why sittest thou thyself alone, and all the people stand by thee from morning to 24? From morning even unto even." Down to 24. Now, Moses was judging the children of Israel. We said almost two people. In the morning, they will come and line up till evening. He may not attend to their need. Hallelujah. Then his father-in-law came to him and said, "Moses, why are you struggling yourself? Select leaders with social and soul quality with the wisdom, and then send them over 50, over 100, over 1,000. Let them divide, then let them bring the big case. If not, you weary yourself and you weary the people." And the Bible said, Moses listened to him and he selected the people. All together? Now, that sounds simple, but let's analyze it. Think about it. In the days of Moses, only one person had the anointing. Or let's say two with the priest. That was Moses. In the Old Testament, before the New Testament, only the king, the priest, and the prophet had the anointing. As at the third time of Moses, there was no king. So only him and Aaron had the anointing. And then Eli was a Midianite. Just imagine, with the level of result of Moses, I parted the Red Sea. I brought water out of the rock. Do you know who I am? You have to come from my shrine, from my... You come and you have to call... Do you know, some will say, it's the Holy Spirit that inspired me. That's why I will not do it. To show humility, Moses listened to him. I listened to him, disobedient, when he spoke about this, and he blew my mind. Despite his level of achievement and ranking, Moses listened to him and implemented it. When you look at the qualification of Moses, he shouldn't listen to this guy. But his heart is meek. That's what the Bible says. There was nobody on earth that was as meek as Moses.
ability to be corrected by whosoever when you are wrong. Hallelujah. Now that is on your own part. As a pastor, your church members should correct you. On the church members' part, they should know how to correct the pastor. These are two different games altogether. On my own part, I should be able to receive correction. On the members' part, they should know how to correct me. Does it make sense? It will be wrong if I don't receive correction. I was listening to one slowly by some day. You don't. If people around you should not be a yes, yes people. Everything is yes. You should be able to receive correction. So to be corrected, no matter your level of achievement. The second example in 2 Kings chapter 5 verse 13. When King David, Bishop of Prophet Nathan came to him, 2 Kings 5 13, and spoke to David and said, what you did is wrong. The Bible says David repented. Unlike Saul and other people, if it's other people, who are you to talk to me? Your head is off. Remember, it was Saul that went and killed priests and he killed all of them. Altogether, but David was meek. When Nathan corrected him, he went on his knees, fasted for 7 days. Altogether, the last example is Numbers 22:28. Example of a man being corrected by an ass, an animal. So the person correcting you now is not even a child. It's a senior major prophet. That anything he says, it happened. That God has to intercept him. That is the caliber of man we are talking. But an animal, an ass corrected him. And the Lord opened the mouth of the ass as he said unto Balaam. What have I done on the thing? Of course, all of us know the story. Is that correct? It was an animal that corrected a high-seeing priest. And he listened. So a sign that you are humble is your ability to be corrected when you are wrong. By whosoever. So long as you are wrong, you should be able to correct. Receive correction. Does it make sense to anybody? So let's look at our life. How do I respond to correction? Am I defensive? Do I say the word to block the correction? Or how do I receive correction? Number three. A sign and an indicator of humility or meekness is ability to acknowledge wrong and show regret and repentance. Okay, no, I think I missed this. So ability to acknowledge wrong and show regret and repentance. 2 Kings 5:13, I think the story is the story of a leprous king. Leprous man, is that correct? Yes, I think 2 Kings 5:13. When he was told to go and cast, and then he refused, his servant advised him, go and do this thing, and he went and did it. And his servant came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had said it, and then he listened to him and went and did it. Is that correct? Now, I think because I just noticed this. Now, 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 14 is the story of David. When Samuel came and spoke to him, he acknowledged his wrong. Remember, when we look at blessed are those that mourn, we say these are people that acknowledge their wrong. When you do something wrong, you acknowledge it and you show regret. There are people that did something and they don't even if they are wrong, they defend their wrongness. Is that correct? They defend it. They don't want to be corrected. No, I will not accept it. Even especially, you know, men have ego. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All of us men have ego. There are times when I will, let's say, have a misunderstanding with my fiance or something like that. I will know I'm wrong. But when you say it, I'll confess later. But now, I don't agree. I don't agree. That is why you need the Holy Spirit. And most times, I will always hear the Holy Spirit apologize. I have a choice to listen or not to listen. So I will not tell you whether it's will be or don't use will be. Hallelujah. But the ability to acknowledge wrong and show regret and repentance. When you acknowledge it, and then you show repentance. The fact that you know that you are always right. You are always right. You are always right. When you are wrong, you don't acknowledge it and you don't even repent. You are too big to apologize. Hallelujah. You are too big to apologize. Who is he? Who is he? You are too big to apologize. You feel anybody can go. Not everybody can go. Hallelujah. Not everybody that can go. So once you don't always acknowledge your wrong and you're not always willing to repent, you are not humble. Hallelujah. Number four. Is that correct? Is it number four? Number one I said was what? Ability to be taught and to receive knowledge. That's the ability. Number two was what? Ability to be corrected and instructed by whosoever when there is need, despite your achievement and level. Number three is ability to acknowledge wrong and show regret and repentance. Number four is appropriate self-estimation. Please, this is very, very important. Appropriate self-estimation. There are three particular people that the Bible says they are humbles. Numbers chapter 12, verse 3. And then Matthew 11, 20. Numbers 12, verse 3. Now listen to the first person. This is the first person in the Bible that the Bible says is humble. Now, the man Moses was very meek, very humble, above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. Did we see that? Now listen to the second man. Matthew 11, 29, sir. This is the second person that was said to be humble. Matthew 11, 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek. This is like the person is the one talking now. Is that correct? For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. And then the last person is Paul, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1. Now, question. Everybody, look at me now. If I come to you and I say I am humble, am I humble? If I come to you now, David, I am very, you see me like this, I am humble, sincerely. I am really humble. Am I humble? I'm not humble. That means I'm proud. Okay, I'll show you something now. Who wrote the book of Numbers? Moses. Now let's read what he says. It was Moses that wrote the book of Numbers. Let's read what Moses said about himself. Numbers 12:3. Now, Moses, you are writing about yourself. And look at what you are saying. Numbers 12:3. Now, the man, Moses, you are writing about yourself, was the very, above all the men that were on earth. So, is Moses humble? In Matthew chapter 11, verse 29, and Matthew 21, verse 18, it was Jesus that was talking about himself. And he said, I am meek and lowly in heart. So was Jesus humble or proud? All of us have told me before that the person is humble. But this is the point I want you to observe. It's not really in the statement. There's what we call low self-esteem and high self-esteem. Is that correct? Andrew Womack said that low self-esteem is a higher level of pride than high self-esteem. People that have, and I will explain, don't worry. People that have low self-esteem, their pride is higher than people that have high self-esteem. Let me explain. He said, when you have low self-esteem, it means, as I'm entering here, am I, is my dressing well? Go and sing. I don't know if my voice is good. How would they sing? You are focused on yourself. Is that correct? Your what is on your mind is what people think about you. Your all concentration is on who? On yourself. Is that true? Come on, is that true? And what is pride? Self-exaltation. Does it make sense to all of us? So low self-esteem is, the pride in low self-esteem is higher than high self-esteem. High self-esteem is, that one is too obvious. You think everybody is below you. That one you can know, that one is, the pride is obvious. But low self-esteem is higher level of manifestation. But because it is subtle, you will not know that the person is proud. Because pride means self-consciousness, self-focus. You are only concerned about yourself, what people think about you. Altogether. So now, the point I gave, don't forget, is appropriate self-estimation. Moses knew who he was. You cannot tell me that the devil doesn't know he's humble. Do you think we feel all that the boy, are you humble? You say he's humble. No, he knows he's humble. He knows it. If you are proud, okay, most proud people don't really know they are proud anyway. But if you are humble, you will know. Because for you, remember one of the first impression we said, is strength under control. So the fact that he can be able to control his strength, any small person can come out and insult that they are the boy and he will still keep quiet. Young ministers, all ministers can say anything about him with his level of influence. 49th influential in the whole world.
Hallelujah. Number 50 is Nelson Mandela. Only two of them are from Africa.
Whole world, globally. Number one influential man in Africa.
You see people redeem, you see God to redeem God. Even if you are the devil, you will believe God is alive.
By that caliber of man, his level of humility is mind-blowing.
So you cannot tell me he doesn't know he's humble. He knows he's humble.
So you'll be able to appropriately gauge yourself. You remember what the Bible says? If we judge ourselves, we will not be judged. So when you look at these indicators, you can gauge your life and estimate yourself where you are. The Bible says you are the righteousness of Christ. You are meant to be rich. You are meant to be poor. You know, there are people that have cars.
There's a group of people that they have official cars. So I saw one of the person walking on the leg one day. Say, why are you doing? Say he doesn't like entering the car. Living a simple life. I don't even like living in the car. I just shook my head. I said, the babala walking on this man's head is powerful.
you can be taught. I have an official car to drive. I will drive it.
I will cruise it. I said, if I can even drive it to go to the loo, I will drive it.
I will enjoy that privilege maximally. If I have somebody that will wash my clothes now, iron it, I will give the clothes with two hands.
I will not say, no, it's okay. I want to wash my clothes for wear.
That is appropriate self-estimation. So when you go too low, you are proud. You go too high, you are proud. So humility, or when you appropriately gauge yourself where you should belong.
You cannot tell me now. My spiritual father comes to this place, and then sister comes to the front. Say, no, I want to sit behind. That is not appropriate. That is not self. There are places I enter that I know I should. Let's say I go to family house now, NCCF. I was a past president. When I go there, I expect to sit in the front. If you say I'm proud, you're on your own. Yeah. You know, if you say I that is where I should be. I will not go and sit in the congregation. For what?
That is not humility. So know where God has kept you and be there. That is appropriate self-estimation.
All together? Are we together? God will help us. Number 5
is mildness, softness, and tenderness of heart. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 21. Mildness, mild, M-I-L-D. Mildness, softness, and tenderness of heart. 1 Corinthians 4:21. A mild heart, a tender heart, a soft heart. What will he? Shall I come unto you with a rod or in love and in the spirit of meekness? There is no humble person that is violent and aggressive in nature.
All together.
There is a spirit of humility. You will be tender, you will be soft.
Come on, out together.
So check your spirit. Is there a looter for a looter? You know, there is this spirit. There are people that are ready for quarrel. You just look for their trouble. They are ready to answer you. Hallelujah. So check. If you are humble, there is a level of tenderness that your spirit will have. There is a level of mildness and softness that your spirit will inevitably have.
Out together.
So don't forget, we are looking at signs and indicators. Check your spirit. How are you? Are you always defensive? Are you always on the attack? Are you always confrontational? Are you always on the defense? You are just looking for the way to backfire anything that comes. Your spirit is not mild. There is no tenderness. You are coarse. You are harsh. Hallelujah. You are violent. Your reactions, even though there are people that their natural temperament is they are gentle, but they are really proud in heart.
Are you understanding me now? There are people that can be like this, but in their heart they are standing. No. Hallelujah. That's what I'm talking about.
But when you are truly humble, you will still become mild. You cannot be a true humble person and you're always harsh, always confrontational, always vocal, always forward. There's a level of mildness and softness you will always have. Your temperament can be a vocal temperament, a loud temperament. That the boy is natural, is a phlegmatic person. He's naturally soft. He's naturally gentle. Now, that doesn't mean somebody that is vocal, like Duncan Williams, or that the boy is, or Oedipo, is not humble because he's vocal. No. But still in his persona of Bishop Oyedepo, you will see softness and tenderness. Hallelujah. Are we together? So number six. This is very, very important. Another sign of humility is a heart of empathy. Empathy is E-M-P-A-T-Y. Not criticality and impatience. Galatians chapter 6 verse 1. Please, I will explain this. A heart of empathy. Every true, humble person have a spirit of empathy. Isaiah 64 verse 6 and Galatians 6 verse 1. Let's read it. Brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. In Isaiah chapter 64 from verse 6 says, he was talking about, even though it's in the Old Testament, you're righteous in the filthy rack. Now, when you see somebody that is always critical on people, always analytical, why will they divorce? Why? Why? Look at this pastor. You see people, you are a master analyzer of people's faults. It's a sign. No, you know something? You cannot condemn somebody you don't think you are above. A sign that this thing you are doing, I am judging you, is a sign that I am above you. I don't even understand me now. Criticality and analytical spirit is a sign of you are above this person. This person is wrong. It's proud people that have empathy. Means you put yourself in the person's shoe and feel the way he feels. That is the way humble people really have empathy. They really understand what people are going through. You don't know my story. There's a song by John Peake that I love so much. You don't know my story. You know that song? You don't know the things that I've been through. You cannot imagine the sorrow and the pain. You don't know my story. A very, very powerful song. Hallelujah. You don't know people's story. Nobody truly knows the story. I was listening to a story yesterday of everybody says A.A. Allen died of alcoholism. How many of you have read that before? You have read that before? Yes. That A.A. Allen is very powerful. Yesterday I was listening to a live video by somebody that was related to his granddaughter. The man didn't die of alcoholism. He was injected with alcoholism. The doctor that did it confessed. A people pay him $10,000 to do that, and then they put alcoholism in his body and they killed him. The person that is a live confession. But everybody in the world, and everybody say, even men of God, I rise and drink alcohol and they die. You haven't even gone anywhere. A critical and analytical person is proud, is a proud person. Humility will make you to feel the pains of people. You will not be critical. You will not be too forward on people. Wait and hear their story. Some people that became prostitutes, you don't know their stories. You don't know. Some of them were abused when they are 5 years, and that abuse affected their mind. And when they grew up, they became sexually loose. And by that, demons took hold of them, and that was how they ended in prostitution. Now, you would think everybody was indisciplined. You don't even know her story. Somebody else, we are not excusing sin. Are we together? But you are not judgmental and critical on people. So anytime you discover that you're always critical, you're always hard on people, it's not a sign of humility. Humble people are mild. They are empathetic. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then the last sign I will give us is a consideration of others in their words and actions. James chapter 1 verse 9. Humble people consider others in their words and their actions. Humble people consider. James chapter 1 verse 9. It's 1 verse 19, sir. Sorry, sir. Humble people consider others in their words and actions. James chapter 1 verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Humble people will think about how people will react, or how will David feel if I say this thing. If I say this thing, they will be conscious of how people will react. They consider others in their words. I don't care what Juliet said. I've said it. I don't care. You know people like that? I don't care what they feel. I don't care. I'll say it. You don't care about how you are not considerate of others. You are not considerate. You don't say anything and you damn the consequence. You are looking plumpy. When I noticed this, when I learned this one, you know something? I read one article one time. You say, if somebody is speaking wrong English, and you try to correct the person will never be corrected. You have succeeded in getting an enemy for yourself. Have you noticed? They will not take the correction. Leave them. Unless if you are in a position to talk to them. There are people you are in a position to talk to them. Let's say your friend, and there is a way you can talk to him. But let's say you are just saying, this is your English. I listen to people. I was one quiet. I was one way. The lady was singing. I said, "Master, in all." I was singing it. I wanted to mama. I said, "In all of you." It was like somebody closed my mouth from inside. Who? Get quiet. If I said this, you will feel I'm trying to show her I know. You understand me now? Unless if I am in a position to correct her, I am a friend or I'm somebody she listens to. So you hear about what your words. Humble people are considerate of others in their actions and in their words. So if you are inconsiderate, you are humble. Don't forget what we share today. We said humility means strength under control. Humility doesn't make weakness. It means you have the strength, but you keep it under control. Are we together? And we said it means submitting to the will of God. We look at some facts about humility. We say humility is a posture of the heart and disposition. And we said humility doesn't make people humble. People choose and yield themselves to the Holy Spirit and become humble. And number three, we say humble people are humble to all men. Those below them, above them, and in their equals. Do you remember that? We said number four, humble humility can be. We said so there are signs of humility. Now, these seven signs, look at your life, look at yourself. Read you know, like I said in the beginning, when the word comes, don't look at others, look at yourself. Are you teachable? Am I teachable? You know yourself if you are teachable or not. Number two, can you easily be corrected? Can you easily be corrected or instructed by anybody? Especially when you are wrong and you need to be corrected. Out together. Number three, look at yourself. Do you usually acknowledge your wrong and show regret and repent when you are wrong? When you are wrong, do you usually acknowledge it? I was wrong. And then you are remorseful for it. Bible says godly sorrow leads to repentance, and then you repent from it. Out together. And then number four, look at yourself. What is your self-estimation? Do you have low self-esteem? Do you have high self-esteem, or you are just who you are, who you should be? Look at where you are. There are people you give the responsibility. No. They are too mindful of themselves. But if you are, there are people. I used to say I like the. They call. Is it meat now? That I hear they call it meat. Meat, right? Meat. Okay. I like his courage and personality. When he talk with confidence. You know, Toby, we are somewhere, and then we are talking about that lady, and then we are describing him. Then Toby says something, that does he talk carefully? He says, yes, he talks carefully. He talks, that is, so like, that is, I believe this is not so, don't be shy, unnecessarily shy, or you want to show your appropriate self-estimation of yourself. Hallelujah. You have a fine clothes, you don't want to wear it because I don't want people to say, I will wear that thing. Oh God. Praise God. Hallelujah. And then people say, where are this thing now? Say, no, I don't have people to wear this. Yeah. No, I'll wear it too. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. I will not now ride my car because you don't have a car. Eh? I don't want to come to church in my car because I don't want people to be. Enjoy the blessing that God gives you, God says to Ismaya. Enjoy it. When you go to heaven, there are no cars here. There are no cars. Some people say they have seen cars in heaven anyway. I don't know. But even their cars, Mercedes will not be there. Enjoy what God has given you. If God has given you perfume yourself. You understand me? If God has given you iron your clothes. If God has given you shoes you can change it. Estimate yourself. If God has given you revelation, share it. If there is need for. If you can pray. Anything you can do, estimate yourself appropriately. And then mildness, softness, and tenderness. There is a spirit of humility. There is softness. Harshness is not of the Holy Spirit. It's not a spirit of meanness. And then empathy. Are you always critical? If you are always critical, ladies, look at her dress. Look at that, her skirt. It's too short, this girl. She's becoming carnal now. I mean, carnal. You will not face your church in church. You will not face yourself. You have become Holy Ghost class monitor, church monitor. You are looking at the way people are in church. Look at her, look at her here, this lady. Hi, when she went to NYC, she was a good girl. When she came back now, look at that. You have become critical on people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Somebody's on stage. This person is even proud. This person cannot even talk. If they give me this mic, the way I would take this thing. Hallelujah. So finally, consider others. Did we get something tonight? Did we get something? How many of us desire the spirit of humility? Remember, I said God cannot give you, so you can only pray for grace to yield more. Do you remember that? So can we first of all be on our feet and appreciate God for his word and say, Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you.
For your journey in life, you need direction from the Master. Get set, for the word you're about to hear is a roadmap out of every challenge into newness of life. Now, Apostle Jotham Obi Adams.